You would turn in your Bibles, the book of Exodus, chapter 12. Since it's Easter, and Walter said he didn't have an Easter message, I decided I'd do a little on the Passover. Exodus chapter 12, and I want to begin reading in verse 12. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn of the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. Okay, this is not going to be an Easter message. I'm going to stop there. But it might be an Easter message. Because any time you speak of Jesus Christ and his work, and I believe his work includes his resurrection, that's an Easter message. Unfortunately, most people talk of the resurrection without actually stating what the resurrection means. They were in cemeteries all around this country and in other places talking about the resurrection, but they won't be talking about what it actually accomplished, what it actually meant. The life of the people of God was shown to be secured. It was going to happen. It did happen. Because Jesus Christ did raise from the dead. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The firstborn of many brethren. And our life is in him who ever lives and nowhere else. Because the resurrection of Jesus Christ is to be celebrated always. Every day. And that's why Sunday is the accepted meeting day. It's called the Lord's Day. And today is not the Sabbath. It's not even the Christian Sabbath, Walter. It's the Lord's Day. The resurrection of Christ Jesus shows us the total acceptance of his substitutionary offering, of his shed blood, his death, by God the Father. And the offering was to God the Father.
Yeah.
There would be no need of a resurrection if the blood hadn't been shed. Amen. And since the blood was shed for the people of God, also known as the many, there had to be a resurrection. And there was. Now, in the Passover lamb, we are shown an innocent substitute was to be the difference between the people of God and the children of the devil. The children of Egypt, in this case. The Passover lamb had to die in order for its blood to be shed. And they had to have that blood to put on the doorposts and on the lintel above the door. And that's the reason the Lord spoke here, that he passed over. When I see the blood, I'll pass over you. There's no other reason given, because there's no other reason needed. When he sees the shed blood of the Lamb, he'll pass over. It's that simple. Those inside were to consume that lamb whose blood was shed. They were to have inside of them the lamb whose blood was shed. And they did. But he doesn't give that as the reason.
That's not the reason.
He gives the reason here. When I see the blood. The blood shed and applied was given as the reason for being passed over. And the plague shall not destroy you. God had told them he was going to execute judgment as he passed through the land of Egypt. Death was coming for the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And this included the Israelites there, unless the blood was on the doorpost and the lintels. Unless a death had already happened at that home, there was going to be death. It didn't matter if you were a physical descendant of Joseph, or as Paul put it, a Hebrew of the Hebrews. If the blood wasn't on the doorpost and lintels, death was coming.
Yeah.
The firstborn of man and beast would be dead by morning because somebody was going to die. It would either be the lamb or it would be the firstborn. Judgment was coming unless judgment had already been rendered.
Amen.
Or appeased in the death of the lamb. The reason I got to thinking about this, and I'm not going to be too long because my foot hurts still. It ain't too bad right now, but I got to thinking about what I hear in places. At work, in Kroger's. Well, I can't help it. I don't talk a lot when I'm shopping for groceries or running through Walmart. Other people do, and they talk rather loudly. So you have a tendency to hear people talking. And a lot of conversations turn out to be religious.
Sure.
But I got when I was reading this and I thought about this, where it says, the blood's going to be your token.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's it.
And when I see that blood, I'm going to pass over you. That's the only reason given for being passed over
right.
In this scripture.
Yeah.
So I had a few questions concerning the people that were passed over. Because I wanted to know what kind of men and women were underneath this blood. How moral were they, Mason? In those houses where the blood was shed. I mean, was this the cream of humanity that the Lord was saving from those evil Egyptians? You hear some people talk, that's the truth. That's what they think. Were those people living in those houses that had the blood applied, really, were they really living it? I still hate that phrase. Now, if you want to carry on with this, Exodus, and you see the behavior of those people who were under the blood, you'll realize the answer is no. Now, none of those questions are addressed here. There's only one question asked here. One question here. Did your house have the blood on it?
Yeah.
Was the lamb slain for that house? And the blood applied? And that's the only question that God was concerned with. Because if you are under the blood, he will pass over you. The Lord really is no respecter of persons. Not the way most people put it. They think the Lord is no respecter of persons is because he's fair. He gives everybody a chance, Ellen. He gives everybody a fair shake. The Lord's no respecter of persons because the only person that he respects is his son. And his son's work. And his son's blood. And his son's death for his people. And some of his people weren't nice to start out with. What I preached about last week, about Jacob. Jacob wasn't exactly the greatest soul winner that ever lived. He made his way around trying to steal his brother's birthright. And then he stole his blessing. And guess what? He got him. But God had told him, I'll go with you. I'll keep you. He didn't say, I'll keep you if you'll be good. He already knew Jacob, thou maggot, thou red worm. He knows us better than we know ourselves. And that blood applied cleanses his people from their sins. And he will pass over you. Otherwise, the Lord executes judgment. And you don't want to be on that end of it. No. Thankfully, the Lord also grants mercy. Amen. There are people who will speak of mercy and grace to the exclusion of judgment, and that's wrong. Because right here we got both. He says, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. Get to that end verse. If I don't see the blood, I'm not passing over you. Death's coming. The Lord will execute judgment, and the Lord will have mercy. And the difference is not among men, who's better, who's worse, who's sincere, who's cynical. The difference is for whom the blood is shed. No matter what I've done or what I will do, when the Lord sees the blood, he'll pass over me. The families or families in the houses, because sometimes there was more than one, weren't any better than the Egyptian families. But those in the houses with the blood applied lived. God passed over. They were representative of the family of God, his chosen people. Those in the houses without the blood are representative of those who are not the family of God. And what happened? Death came. Without the blood of the Passover lamb, there is only death. Those who were in the houses with the blood applied might have deserved death, but they didn't get it. Actually, if you want to be real about it, those in the houses with the blood applied did deserve death. Just as every man. Like I told you about that sign this morning, earth is crammed full of heaven. Now, I like this country. I like this planet. But this planet's cursed. Now, there's coming a day, and I don't know if Walter's going to get to it, which I got a feeling he probably will, but there's coming a day this earth's going to melt with a fervent heat. Mm-hmm. And there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. And I don't care what anybody says, pre, post, or ah. That's in the book. Yeah. And there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Sure. And if you want to say earth will be crammed full of heaven then, I can live with that.
Amen.
Sure. Right now, we're not living in an earth filled with righteousness. But by his grace, we will.
Yeah. Amen.
By the shed blood.
By the blood.
Yeah. We will.
Yeah. By the blood.
Believers, true believers of the Lord Jesus Christ shall never die. Why? Because he rose again.
Yeah.
Because he shed his blood. He died and he rose again. Now, is it because they're good people? No. It's not even because we're living it, Mason. It's not because we're better than anyone else. And it's not even because we're so nice. I don't qualify for that part anyway, so it's all right. Some of you do. I know nice people because they let me hang around. Believers, true believers of the Lord Jesus Christ, shall never die because of his shed blood. And that's the only reason.
Yeah.
When the Lord sees the blood of his spotless, perfect, only begotten, well-beloved Son, that's our Lord Jesus Christ, he will pass over us. And it's because of his blood shed that we do have that lamb in us. He gave himself for us. He gave himself to us.
Yeah.
It's because of the blood that believers do walk, do work, and do love God. Because he worketh in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure.
Amen.
Without shedding of blood, there is no remission.
Yeah.
It's not my walk that causes God to pass over me.
No.
It's not my belief that causes God to pass over me. It's not my faith that causes God to pass over me, even though he gave it to me.
That's right.
Faith is the gift of God. My believing is a result of the faith given. And the faith given is because of the blood that was shed for each and every one of his people. Even though that blood was shed and I didn't even know it. I didn't get away from that while I love it with Joseph's brethren. I wrote it down here. And Joseph knew his brethren, but they knew not him.
Yeah.
And he was providing for them.
Yes, he was.
He kept them alive during the terrible famine. Provided their sustenance.
Yeah, he did.
Sort of like that deal Jacob got. I almost said Jacob made. He didn't make it. God made it.
Amen.
But that's the kind of deal I need. I'll be with you. I'll keep you. I'll give you what you need. I'll clothe you. And I'll bring you where you're going. Joseph's brethren didn't know him. Walter, I figure you'll get into this maybe later, but, you know, there he was, married with a Gentile bride, providing for his brethren that he didn't know, that didn't know him.
Didn't know him yet.
But there was blood between them. They were family. Whether they knew it or not, they were family. And if you're the elect, whether you know it or not, you're family.
Yeah.
And if you know it, you're right happy with it.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, I can get tickled pink. Joseph was the salvation of his family, of his brothers, when they did not know him. Now, Joseph in that place was a shadow of Jesus Christ who was to come. Because Joseph provided sustenance and life for his family. Like I said, even when he was married to a Gentile bride. had children. Their knowledge didn't save them because they didn't have any.
Right.
Their knowledge didn't keep them because they didn't have any. They were sustained. They were saved because Joseph was prepared.
Yeah.
Those in the house, what they knew, what they didn't know, I'm assuming there's children in there because they were talking about firstborn dying.
Yeah.
What those children knew, who knows? I got a feeling they were probably pretty much being kids. That's what kids do.
Yeah.
But that blood was applied outside. And those children were safe. Now, as they grew up and they were taught what it was about, they learned, and we are to learn of Christ. We are to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We are not supposed to be stagnant. But the knowledge comes after. That's when the learning begins. Joseph prepared for that day, and he provided for the family. Those in Egypt that slew a lamb and applied the blood on the doorpost and the lintel, and then went inside and consumed that lamb, by the order of God, were passed over. We're not told anything in here about what those people knew and what Moses told them. We're not given any conditions to meet. There's either blood or there's not.
Right, blood or not.
There's either blood or there's not. And there's either life or there's death.
Amen.
Because the Lord is going to come and execute judgment. Actually, judgment's already passed. But the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. The blood was a token there. It wasn't Christ, but Christ was coming. And in our day, Christ has come. Christ lived. Christ died. And I watched I watched part of a 2-hour program yesterday about the 40 days after Christ was resurrected. And what they were trying to do, I thought it would be something, you know. Well, okay, so it is silly. They were trying to make computer generations of what Christ looked like from the Shroud of Turin, so they could make a computer generation of what it looked like when he was on the road to Emmaus, or when he met him in the upper room, or when he was over at the Sea of Galilee and told him to fish off the other side of the boat. Some guy wasted 10 years of his life doing that. And that's why I'm serious. It's a waste. Now, I'm sure that man, I mean, because he had a nice computer. I'm telling you. He was doing 3D graphics and all this stuff on that system, and I'm thinking, I like that computer. But I'm not going to spend 10 years trying to get a picture of somebody who's coming again. And I'm going to see him just as he is. And if I could come up with a perfect 3D representation of it and put it on the big screen and put it all across the world for free and let everybody see it, it wouldn't do a dang bit of good. Because it's the blood that matters.
Yeah.
Those whom he shed his blood for, he will save. He's passed over. And that's a good thing. But there's more coming. There's life. And there's life to be lived, and there's knowledge to be gained, and there's a Lord to know. Mm-hmm. A God to worship. The God. The Lord. I like the way Jacob said that. I didn't point that out exactly right last week when he said, then the Lord shall be my God. Mm-hmm. And the reason he said that way is because it's true, like I said, both ways. Because if he doesn't keep you, and if he doesn't go with you, and if he doesn't provide everything for you, he's still the Lord,
yeah.
But he won't be my God.
Because
he's always the Lord, yeah. No matter what. But Jacob knew that if he kept me, and if he was with me, and he kept me, and he gave me everything I need, then the Lord, who's always the Lord, shall be my God. And the problem we have today is most people don't know the Lord, and he's not their God. The blood makes the difference. The shed blood of Christ. And when God sees the blood, he sees it. I don't have to see it. Walter don't have to see it. You don't have to see it. When he sees the blood, he'll pass over. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful again for this place and this time. But most of all, we are thankful for your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, who did shed his blood for many, for the remission of sins. Thank you. In his name we ask. Amen.